Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Today, text number 9. Word meanings, Turiye, in the fourth of the line. Dharmakala, wife of Dharmarad. Sarge, being born of. Nara Narayana, Nara Narayanao. Name Nara and Narayana. Rishi, sages, putva, becoming, atma upashama, controlling the senses, upetam, for achievement of, akarod, undertook, duscharam, very strenuous, tapaha, penance.
Turiye dharma kala sarge. Nara Narayana Rishi Bhutvatmo Pashamo Petam Akarot Duscharam Tapa Turiye Dharma Kala Sarge Nara Narayana Rishi Bhutvatmo Pashamo Petam Akarot Duscharam Tapa Turiye Dharma Kala Sarge Nara Narayana Vrishi Bhutvatmo Pashamo Petam Akarot Duscharam Tapa
Translation. In the fourth incarnation, the Lord became Nara and Narayana, the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma. Thus he undertook severe and exemplary penances to control the senses. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As King Rishabha advised his sons, tapasya, or voluntary acceptance of penance for realization of the transcendence, is the only duty of the human being. It was so done by the Lord himself in an exemplary manner to teach us. The Lord is very kind to the forgetful souls. He therefore comes himself and leaves behind necessary instructions and also sends his good sons as representatives to call all the conditioned souls back to Godhead. Recently, within the memory of everyone, Lord Chaitanya also appeared for the same purpose, to show special favor to fallen souls of this age of iron industry. The incarnation of Narayana is worshipped still at Badri Narayana on the range of the Himalayas. Amagyanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuran militamena tasmay shri gurave namaha. You know, there are certain prayers that we say, or some devotees do, I tend not to myself, but before we recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So one of those is Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayana, unto Nara Narayana Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. So this, of course, this is the fourth verse of the second chapter, which is right at the beginning of Sutta Goswami's speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. So as he begins speaking, he offers his obeisances to different entities and personalities. And one of those, or two of those, is Nara Narayana Rishi. Nara here means Krishna's energy. Nara, of course, means also sometimes means human beings, or just the living entities. We have God and the Jiva, the living entities. So Nara and Narayan, taken together, Krishna and his and the living entities together. This is Nara Narayana Rishi. So this is for today's verse is about this Nara Narayana Rishi. Sometimes he's often, only one of them is mentioned. In many places, sometimes it just says Narayana Rishi. It doesn't say Nara Narayana Rishi. In any case, they're sometimes referred to in the singular rather than the plural, but there are two. And so they're called Lila avatars. Here it's the verse says Turiye. This is the fourth in this list. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says We shouldn't think that this means necessarily this is exact order of these incarnations, but this is the way they're appearing on this particular list. That's what the fourth refers to here. Because you can compile lists of avatars in different ways. Here we have, I think in this list there are 25 in this third chapter of the first canto. But there are more than that, and there are many who come up in the Bhagavatam in different places who aren't mentioned in this list. So of course, the Lord's incarnations are innumerable. So I'm going to read certain things and make comments. Here it says, in the third, as we go through the Bhagavatam, there are quite a few, actually, just like here, see, Sutta Goswami is offering his obeisances to Nara Narayana Rishi. So he may be a form of the Lord that we don't necessarily think about so much, but he's actually quite prominent, or they're actually quite prominent in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nara Narayana Rishi and also Badarigashram. They come up, you know, here and there throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we hear about them, well, here, of course, in the list of avatars, and again in the second canto where the list of avatars are given. And then we hear about them in the context of Uddhava, in the third canto. For example, this is a third canto, fourth chapter, text 4. Uddhava says, the Lord is the vanquisher of the distresses of one who is surrendered unto him. Thus he who desired to destroy his family told me previously to go to Badarigashram. So we know the story. Krishna instructed Uddhava just before he passed away. Actually, first, we hear about this not too long ago. Of course, we were reading the 11th canto here, the Bhagavatam. And we heard about Krishna telling Uddhava that he was going to depart. And he told Uddhava that he should actually, basically told Uddhava to take sannyas. You should just go travel and preach. But then Uddhava, he couldn't leave the Lord, so he sort of stayed with him. And then Krishna instructed him, and he told him to go to Bhadarika Ashram to inform the sages there. So there's a quote from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is paraphrasing what Krishna was thinking when he spoke to Uddhava. This is from the 11th canto, chapter 7, text 6 from the purport. So Vishwanath Chakravarti is expressing what Krishna is thinking. Krishna is thinking, unfortunately, Naranarayana Rishi and the great Paramahamsa sages who live with him in Bhadarika Ashram, although most enthusiastic to see me, never had their desire fulfilled. I have been on the earth for 125 years, and the scheduled time is now up. Being busily engaged in my pastimes, I did not have time to give my blessings to these great sages. Nevertheless, Uddhava is practically the same as me. He is a great devotee and shares my own transcendental opulences. Thus, he is the right person for me to send to Bhadarika Ashram. So here's some more verses related to that from the fourth chapter, the third canto. My dear Vidura, I am now mad for want of the pleasure of seeing him. And just to mitigate this, I am now proceeding to Bhadarika Ashram in the Himalayas for association, as I have been instructed by him. There in Bhadarika Ashram, the personality of Godhead in his incarnation as the sages Nara and Narayana has been undergoing great penance since time immemorial for the welfare of all amiable living entities. It's interesting that it says time immemorial because they have their appearance on earth at a certain time. And a purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada's, or not that verse, the next verse, 3.4.22, Prabhupada says, there are four dhams, or kingdoms of God, which represent the planets of the spiritual sky, which consists of the Brahma Jyoti and the Vaikunthas. These are Bhadarika Ashram, Rameshwar, Jagannath Puri, and Dwarka. So all Hindus know these char dham, four dhams. Some people, they undertake the Char Dham Yatra. They visit all four of these. So they're in the different directions in India. Of course, Bhadarika Ashram is in the north, in the Himalayas. Rameshram is in the far south. And Jagannath Puri in the east, and Dwarka on the west. I was trying to find out more information about where this comes from. And the only thing I could find was Shankaracharya mentions it. There seemed to be especially... He may have come up with the idea. I don't know. I couldn't find any quote from Shastra that mentions these four dhams. But each one of the dhams, at least for Shankaracharya, there's a Shiva. Lord Shiva is worshipped in each of the four dhams. But there's also Lord Vishnu is also worshipped there, or nearby in the same general area. Just like Rameshwaram, for example, in the southern part of India, almost on the tip of India. So Rameshwaram is where Lord Ram worshipped Shiva Linga. He worshipped Lord Shiva when he was looking for Sita Devi. So it's called Ram Ishwara. I assume you can take that in different ways, but at least the worshippers of Shiva take that Ishwara, that Lord Shiva is the Ishwara of Ram, because Ram worshipped Lord Shiva there. But nearby there is Setu Bandha. Setu Bandha is right where the bridge that crosses over into Sri Lanka. That's at Setu Bandha. So Lord Vishnu is worshipped there, or Lord Ram is worshipped there at Setu Bandha. So anyway, these are the four dhams, and one of the four dhams considered especially sacred is Bhadarika Ashram. Bhadarika Ashram is only open, I think it's 6 months of the year. I happen to have the opportunity to go there. One devotee who has enough money took my wife and I and another devotee by helicopter to Bhadarika Ashram and Badrinath and what's the other Nath? Kedarnath. Yeah, we went to Kedarnath and Badrinath. Actually, you don't fly all the way to Badrinath, but at Kedarnath you do. There's actually a helipad right there. When you go to Badrinath, you go to Joshimut, and then you drive by car in a couple more hours. So it, because it gets so much snow and cold there that the priests just leave. They leave some lamps burning, I think, and they close the place up for 6 months in the winter because it's just covered with snow. Well, many people, of course, they walk there, Badrinathram. And I was trying to remember because I'm reading that Badrinarayan and Naranarayan are worshipped there, probably mentioned in different places. And I was, of course, I went into the temple at Badrinathram, but I couldn't remember what the deity was. But I'm sure there's the main deity is Vishnu deity, Badrinath, Vishnu deity. But Naranarayan are also there in the temple on a side altar or an alcove or something. So they're also present there, Naranarayan or Rishi. So it said that they're still there performing penance at Badrinathram, and they're doing this for the welfare of the human society. How that works exactly, I don't know. Well, part of the way it works is that we're supposed to take their example. They're showing that human life is meant for self-realization, for living a simple life and performing austerity in the sense of devotional service to the Lord, giving up sense gratification, engaging in the service of the Lord. So they're displaying that there at Badrinathram. And of course, there are great sages who have the vision who may actually get their darshan and see them. So the appearance of Naranarayan as it comes in the Bhagavatam is mentioned in the fourth canto. There's a chapter called the Genealogical Table of the Daughters of Manu. Manu had three daughters, Akuti, Prasuti, and Devahuti. And two sons, Uttanapada and Priyabrata. So, you know, there's a lot of genealogy in the Bhagavatam. So this begins in this fourth canto. We hear about the daughters of Manu. Prasuti, she was married to Daksha. And Daksha had, I think it's 17 daughters. There are different lists, but I think it's 17. And they were married to, Murti, the reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Naranarayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then it says, this isn't a purport, I think. According to the Matsya Purana, 3:10, Dharma, the father of Naranarayana Rishi, was born from the right breast of Brahma and later married 13 daughters of Prajapati Daksha. The Lord himself appeared from the womb of Meru Devi. So Dharma was born directly from Lord Brahma, from his right breast, and he married 13 daughters of Prajapati Daksha. So one of those daughters was Meru Devi, and her husband was Dharma. Here's something about his appearance. This is from the first chapter, the fourth canto. On the occasion of the appearance of Naranarayana, the entire world was full of joy. Everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus in all directions, the air, the rivers, and the mountains became pleasant. And the heavenly planets' bands began to play, and they showered flowers from the sky. The pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers, and denizens of heaven known as the Gandharvas and Kinnaras sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced, and in this way, at the time of the appearance of Naranarayan, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just at that time, great demigods like Lord Brahma also offered their respectful prayers. So some of their prayers are given here. Then Maitreya says, O Vidura, thus the demigods worshiped with prayers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as the sage Naranarayana. Here again, in the translation, we have it as a singular, even though it's two persons. The Lord glanced upon them with mercy and then departed for Gandhamadana Hill. We often hear about Gandhamadana Hill in the Bhagavatam also. So Prabhupada says that Gandhamadana Hill is Badrinathram, or Badrinathram is on Gandhamadana Hill. It's the same, at least the same general area of the Himalayas. It's also the same general area. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, we hear that Vyasadeva went to perform his penance at Shamyapras. So Shamyapras is also in the same area, Badrinathram. So this is an especially holy place of sages and incarnations. says that Naranarayana Rishi, who was a partial expansion of Krishna. Now, Prabhupada uses the word partial here, but in other places he makes it sound like he's a plenary portion. He uses the word plenary portion. So Prabhupada is not always exact in how he uses these different expansions. This, I think the Sanskrit for this was Angsha, which just means a part. It can be translated in different ways. Anyway, that Naranarayana Rishi, who is a partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna, respectively, to mitigate the burden of the world. So this is also a conception that's there. Whenever Krishna and Arjuna go to visit Mahavishnu and the Mahapurusha, then he also mentions that they are present on earth as Naranarayana Rishis. So sometimes people may have the idea that Krishna is an incarnation, or Krishna and Arjuna are incarnations of Naranarayana. But it's actually, of course, the other way around. But Arjuna is considered to be a representative of Nara in this Naranarayana Rishi duo. So Krishna is Narayana and Arjuna is Nara. He represents the living entity. Prabhupada says in the purport that Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Nara is a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Thus the energy and the energetic together are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So also, now this is Lord Vrishabhdev. Oh, this is in the context of Lord Vrishabhdev. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nara Narayana, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. So here you see Prabhupada calls him the plenary. By doing so, in the course of time, Maharaj Nabi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. So Nabi is the father of Vrishabhdev. So Nabi is, he went to Bhadarik Ashram. So I have a list here of some people who went to Bhadarik Ashram. So this King Nabi is one. Kakudmi, the father of Revati, you may remember the story. Kakudmi wanted to marry his daughter to someone. He went to Brahmaloka, and Lord Brahma said, you know, go back and marry her to Balaram. So this Kakudmi, after he married his daughter to Lord Balaram, then he went to Bhadarik Ashram. Muchakunda, of course, Krishna found Muchakunda in the cave. He led this Kali Yavana to him, and Muchakunda, with his glance, he killed Kali Yavana. Then Muchakunda offered prayers to the Lord, to Krishna. Then he left for Bhadarik Ashram. Dhruva Maharaj, which is quite interesting, because Dhruva Maharaj, he went to Vrindavan, Madhuban. Narada Muni sent him to Vrindavan to perform his austerities. So that's where he had darshan of the Lord, was in Vrindavan. But then, of course, he ruled for a long time, and then at the end of his life, there's a chapter, Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead, something like that. So where did he go? He went to Bhadarik Ashram. He didn't go back to Vrindavan. For some reason, he went to Bhadarik Ashram. And then this Nabi that I just mentioned, the father. Actually, it says Nabi and Meru Devi, not just King Nabi, but his wife also. They went to Bhadarik Ashram to attain perfection. So this is from the fifth canto. Now there's a section, I think this is in the context of that. There's a section of the fifth canto. Of course, you know there's the cosmology, cosmography, in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. So we hear about Bhumandala, and we hear about the different dvipas. Jambudvip is one of them, and Jambudvip is made up of different varshas, areas of Jambudvip. So there's a section called the residents of Jambudvip offer prayers. And actually, it's interesting because the residents of Jambudvip offered prayers begin in a previous chapter and end in the following chapter. So it covers, you know, parts of three chapters, but one chapter is called that the residents of Jambudvip offered prayers. So I believe this might be in the context of that chapter. But it says, the glories of the Supreme Personality, this is Shukadeva speaking, the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are inconceivable. He has appeared in the form of Naranarayana in the land of Bharatvarsha. Because this is about what the residents of Bharatvarsha do. You know, in each one of these varshas that's mentioned, there's a particular form of the Lord there, and the devotees are offering prayers to that particular form. For example, in one of the places, Lord Nrisimhadeva is worshipped there. And Prahlad Maharaj is leading the devotees there in offering prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva. So the same thing happens in different places. So in Bharatvarsha, Narada Muni is leading the devotees and offering prayers to Naranarayana. They're considered the special form for Bharatvarsha is Naranarayana. So they have special significance for the earth. First of all, of course, they're always there. Maybe this is explained here. So he has appeared in the form of Naranarayana in the land of Bharatvarsha in the place known as Bhadarik Ashram to favor his devotees by teaching them religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. So these are all part of tapasya, you might say. Religion, knowledge, renunciation, spiritual power, sense control, and freedom from false ego. He is advanced in the opulence of spiritual assets, and he engages in executing austerity until the end of this millennium. This is the process of self-realization. So Prabhupada uses this translation, millennium. So sometimes it's a little vague, what does the millennium actually mean? So the Sanskrit is a kalpa antam. So a means up to, kalpa means, kalpa is the day of Brahma, antam, the end. So millennium in this sense means whole day of Brahma. So he appeared not too long ago, or they appeared not too long ago, and they will be residing there till the end of this particular day of Brahma. So that's, of course, a very long time. You know, it's interesting in the ninth canto where we hear the pastime of Lord Ramchandra, when Vibhishan was given rule of Lanka, it's said there that he was given the rule until the end of the kalpa, akalpantam also. So Vibhishan is apparently ruling in Sri Lanka somehow or other. Might not be able to go see him, make a visit, but according to the Bhagavatam, Lord Ram gave him the rule until the end of the kalpa. So what else do we have here? The great sage Narada instructed the tenets of this transcendental literature, Narada Pancharatra. So this is also in the context of Narada. Narada composed the Narada Pancharatra, which of course is very important. We are engaged in at least our principles of deity worship and the way we live our lives are based on the Pancharatras. So one of the important ones is Narada Pancharatra. So it says here that Narada instructed Savarni Manu in Narada Pancharatra in order to teach those inhabitants of Bharatvarsha who strictly follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma how to achieve the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, Narada Muni, along with other inhabitants of Bharatvarsha, always engages in the service of Naranarayana. So the Narada has that's his ashram. We often hear, of course, Narada doesn't stay any place very long, but we often hear that after some pastime, then you hear that Narada returned to his ashram, or to Bhadarika ashram. That's his home base, you might say. He's a Parivarajaka Acharya, of course, a Paramahansa, liberated soul, Devarshi. But if you want to say that he has a home base, that's his home base, at least on this planet. He also goes to Brahma Loka, also, because Lord Brahma is his father. He can go anywhere he wants. So Prabhupada uses, when he mentions the four Kumaras, for example, he says they wandered at will, so they just go wherever they want, inspired by their devotion to the Lord. So then in the 11th canto, we had the story of Naranarayan's appearance. And what happened then was Naranarayan, of course, they came to execute austerities, and they were executing austerities. And Lord Brahma this time, wasn't it? Indra. You know, Indra, he gets nervous when sages perform austerity because he's afraid they're going to take his job, steal his post. So he sent some of his associates to make him fall down, basically. Entrapment, you know, they call it legally. To try to entrap Cupid. And just like in also in Haridas Thakur's Leelas, you know, he was trying to be entrapped, catch him red-handed, consorting with a woman. So to break his tapasya, which of course will take away his power, he wouldn't get Indra's throne. So Indra sent, so I'll read some of the verses there. The primeval Lord, understanding the, this is from, there's something from the summary. Anyway, what happens is that he sent these demigods, springtime personified, and the wonderful wind, and these beautiful damsels, and to disturb him. But Narayana Rishi, of course, he wasn't at all disturbed. And let me just read a few verses here. This is after Narayana Rishi. He's not disturbed. So it says, the primeval Lord, understanding the offense committed by Indra, did not become proud. Instead, he spoke laughingly as follows to Cupid. Cupid was one of them that was sent. And his followers who were trembling before him. Do not fear, O mighty Madan, O wind god and wives of the demigods. Rather, please accept these gifts I am offering you and kindly sanctify my ashram by your presence. So they came to make him fall down, but he received them like as if they were guests. Please, come into my place. Come into my ashram. I give you these gifts. While then the demigods offered prayers to the Lord. Demigods, these personalities who had come, they praised the Lord. While the demigods were thus praising the Supreme Lord, the all-powerful Lord suddenly manifested before their eyes with many women who were astonishingly gorgeous, decorated with fine clothes and ornaments, and all faithfully engaging in the Lord's service. So the demigods saw these amazingly beautiful women, and they thought, well, we have no power over him. And then the Lord told them, please choose one of these women, whomever you find suitable. She will become the ornament of the heavenly planets. Vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the servants of the demigods selected Urvashi, the best of the Apsaras. Placing her in front of them out of respect, they returned to the heavenly planets. So this, at least according to this story, is the source of Urvashi. Now you often hear about Urvashi. She comes into play in the Bhagavatam. And Uru means the thigh. It's said that she was created from Naranarayana's thigh in this pastime. So she went to the heavenly planets. So there's a mention of Naranarayana Rishi, Narayana Rishi, by Lord Kapiladev. You know, there's the section, of course, Lord Kapiladev's instructions cover a lot of chapters, but there's one where he talks about the travels of the living entity, we hear about the man dying and his relatives are all there, then he gets dragged to hell, then takes birth in a womb, and he has that horrible situation within the womb. So the whole thing is really kind of frightening to read about. This is material existence. So after that, then Kapiladev, then he says that unfortunately the child, you know, gets pampered in his next birth, gets pampered again, and then basically falls into Maya, falls down, and he has to go through that whole thing again. So Kapiladev is warning, be careful, be careful. This material existence is so dangerous. And in the context of that, he speaks a handful of verses about the danger of association with women. You may remember this section of verses. So there's one of the last verses in that section. He says, Tatshrishta shrishta shrishta shu konva kanditi puman rishim narayanam rite yoshin mayaya mayaya. He says, among all living entities created by Lord Brahma, including demigods, animals, and humans, none but the sage Narayan is immune from the influence of Maya in the form of woman. So, of course, this is a really heavy section of the Bhagavatam where Kapiladev is really trying to make the point. You have to be careful, and this is one of the main attractions of the material world. And don't think you're above it. Only Narayana Rishi is above the attraction, the allure, the danger of attraction to women. Or Maya in the form, Yoshin Mayaya Mayaya, he says. Maya in the form of woman. So Maya can come in different forms, so that's one of the forms. So let's see, what else? I have some other things here. There are different... one of the things we read recently in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam was the whole story of Markandeya Rishi. So Markandeya Rishi, he was a devotee of Naranarayana. And he... You know, the whole arrangement where he wanted to see the universal devastation, it was Naranarayana Rishi who made this happen. He's the one who said, basically, oh, that's what you want, so be it. And then the whole thing happened, and then Markandeya said, whoa, this is a little more than I asked for here. So that was all arranged by Naranarayana Rishi. Let's see. Okay, so I'll just end here. Here's a prayer to Naranarayana Rishi. Actually, what was this here? I had something I'd added at the end. Oh, Naranarayana Rishi. This is from a summary of 1087. Oh, I know what it was. You know, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, the 87th chapter, is prayers by the personified Vedas. In the beginning of that chapter, Shukadeva Goswami, well, I'll just read this part of the summary. King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami how the Vedas can directly refer to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Brahman, since the Vedas deal with the material realm governed by the three modes of nature, and Brahman is completely transcendental to these modes. So this is what incites this whole prayers by the personified Vedas, but this is the context. In reply, Shukadeva Goswami described an ancient encounter between Sri Narayana Rishi and Narada Muni at Bhadrikashram. Traveling to that sacred hermitage, Narada found the Lord surrounded by exalted residents of the nearby village of Kalapa. I'll just make a footnote here. Kalapagram is mentioned a couple of times in the Bhagavatam. So Kalapagram is in the same area also. So in the genealogy in a couple of places, a couple of persons are mentioned, and they're both said that they will start, they went to Bhadrikashram when they, at the end of their reign as kings, and they're waiting there till the end of Kali Yuga, and they will begin the Surya dynasty and the Moon dynasty in the beginning of the next Satya Yuga. So the one is named Maru. He will begin the Surya dynasty in Satya Yuga, and one is named Devapi, who was the elder brother of King Shantanu. So he'll begin the Soma dynasty, or the Moon dynasty. So they're living there in this Kalapagram, which was just mentioned here. They're both living there now. Prabhupada says they're there in yogic meditation, waiting for the end of Kali Yuga, so they'll begin these dynasties at the beginning of Satya Yuga. So to continue this summary of the chapter, the 10th canto. After bowing down to Narayana Rishi and his associates, Narada submitted this same question to him. In reply, Narayana Rishi related an account of how this very question had been discussed long ago among the sages living on Janaloka. Once these sages, feeling inquisitive about the nature of the Absolute Truth, chose Sanandana Kumar to speak on the subject. I thought I'd mention this since I just gave class on the Kumars. And I mentioned often Sanat Kumar is speaking. So here we see Sanandana Kumar is speaking on Janaloka, and he's asking the same question. Sanandana Kumar, he was asked this question. He told them how the numerous personified Vedas appearing as the first emanations from the breathing of Lord Narayana recited prayers for glorification just before the creation. Sananda then proceeded to recite these elaborate prayers. So I don't know if you followed all of that, but the basic idea is, in order to answer Pariksit Maharaj's question about how the Vedas, which deal with material things, how can they give us knowledge of Brahman, which is transcendental? So he answered by saying, well, actually, Narada Muni was talking to Narayana Rishi about this, and he spoke about a meeting of sages, the four Kumaras, on Janaloka, where they were discussing this question. So we have these different levels of the conversation going on. So here's a prayer. This is from, I guess this is one of the prayers that's being offered to Lord Naranarayana Rishi. This particular one is in prose, although there are other ones there that are in poetry. This one is in prose. You might be able to follow some of it. You listen, you hear some of the words. Om Namo Bhagavate Upashyama Shilayo Parantat Mat Myaya. Yes, Myaya. Namo Kinchana Vittaya Rishi Rishabhaya Nara Narayanaya Paramahamsa Paramagurave Atma Ramadhipataye Namo Nama. So probably a few familiar words in that. So this is the translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Naranarayana, the best of all saintly persons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige. And he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. Namo kinchana vittaya. He is the spiritual master of all paramahansas, who are the most exalted human beings. And he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. So again, the idea is that Narada Muni is leading everyone on earth in offering prayers to Nara Narayana Rishi. So in one sense, you could say Narada is offering these prayers on our behalf, so we're getting some benefit by his, and also in some inconceivable way by Nara Narayana Rishi's austerities, we're getting benefit as well. So the translation again, in the fourth incarnation, the Lord became Nara Narayana, the